are up to. Did we do the Rashi? I don't think we finished the Rashi. We end the top, second Rashi from the top.
What's
that? Yotetam al Aleph. Rav Nachman Damar Lekaman, Rav Yehti Yehuda Nami, did we do that? Yeah. We did that. Maybe not. Maybe we didn't do it. The Gemara's question was, the Gemara wanted to know about the Yid as Erison and Nisuan. And the Gemara wanted to prove it because the Brisa said, a guy can sell his daughter Amala L'Kohen Gadol. And the question was, how is she an Amala? If she married herself off, it's worthless. If her father married her off, Rabbi Akiva holds that once you marry off your daughter Erison, you can't resell her as a Shivcha. So how is this Amana being sold? So the Gemara answered, must be Yud. And Yud is herself marrying her off. That's how the Gemara views it. In fact, the Gemara, so therefore must be Yud is Erison. Because if Yud were Nisuan, it wouldn't make a difference. She would be removed from her father's Rishos. So the Gemara asked, maybe Yud is different. Just like we see Yud works, that the girl does it herself. So maybe even if Yud is Nisuan, the father still retains rights afterwards. So the Gemara answered, you can't compare Erison to Nisuan. Nisuan is an automatic cutoff, regardless. Who cares who does it? So it's a raya that Yud is Erison Isa. So the Gemara proves from this raya that Yud is Erison. Now this is all predicated on the fact that Yud is working by herself. Now we mentioned the Machloikas Tanoim, and today we will be spending time on that Machloikas Tanoim. The Tanakama holds, we'll call them the Rabbanon, they hold that Yud works because you paid the father money, and then sometime during that 6 years, you change that money from sale to Kedushin. The Torah allows you, when a person sells his daughter, so Shimon buys a girl, so when Shimon decides that instead of using her as an Amma, he wants her as a wife, he basically is saying, that money which I paid you then was built in the concept that I could change this to Kedushin at any time. That's you. If that's the case, it's the father that married her off. He accepted that money, and that money is the money of Kedushin. But if you hold on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's not the first money. It's the leftover work. He's telling the girl, you're supposed to work for me for X amount of time. I am transferring that as Kedushin, right? And therefore it works because she is accepting the Kedushin. So that is the girl marrying herself off. So therefore, once the girl marries herself off, Yud is different than a regular marrying off your daughter. That's what the Gemara said in yesterday's daf. Frek the Gemara, top line, Yotatam and Aleph. Ulurav Nachman by Yitzchok Domar, the Afilu Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda, Mos Rishainus the Kedusha Nitnu. That statement to Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda, that he's Makadish her with that later on, what he's going to say.
Leftover work, you're saying?
Well, that's how we translated it. But Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda never said those words. What Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda said is, there has to be time left over for her to work. Meaning, let's say the owner worked her 5 years and 300, let's say the year is 354 days, 353 and a half days. And he walks over to her, she has like an hour left, and he says to her, I want to be miyayed you. And there's no work left to pruta yet, left. It's to the end. So the Rabbanon would say, no difference. It's the first money that's Kedushin. Whether he used it up, whether he didn't use it up, makes no difference. The B'Yishev Yudah says, no, there has to be left over at least a pruta. We're understanding Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda to mean that you're using that pruta for Kedushin. If not, why does it have to be left over? If it's the original money, if it was a condition in the original money, why do you need any money left? That's why we walked around yesterday saying that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that the yield does not work with the original money. It works with the money left over because he requires money being left over. The Rabbanan say, we don't care what's left over. It's the original money. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, we need money left over. She still has to be able to have an amount that she has to work that's at least worth a prutza. That means Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda is insisting that we need work left. So we understood Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda to mean that it's not the original money that's the Kedushin, it's the leftover. Not everybody agrees that's shot Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda. Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak says no. Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda needs leftover money for whatever reason, but that's not how Kedushin works. He also agrees it's the original money of Kedushin. So the answer we gave yesterday, that the way a person can sell his amana is because he can sell his amana because he never married her off, she married herself off through Yehud, doesn't work anymore. Because that was all supposing that Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda holds that Yehud means the girl marries herself off with the leftover money. But Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak did not translate Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda that way. And we will see this later on. So according to his translation of Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda, Yehud is regular Kedusha. It's the father marrying off his daughter. And whenever the Adon decides to turn it into Kedusha, he can. Except Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda requires there be leftover work. Why? We'll see later on. But Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak says there is no basic machloikas here. Yesterday we understood there's a basic machloikas in how Yehud works. Rabbanon understanding Yehud to mean the father married her off. It was a conditional Kedushin up to the owner to decide when he wants to turn it into Kedushin. And Rabbi Yehuda said she's marrying herself off later on with the leftover work. Nothing to do with that. That's how we explained it yesterday. Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak does not explain the machloikas that way. He says everybody agrees it's the original Kedushin. The machloikas is, do you need time left or not? Why? We will see later on. But that's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's shot. If that's true, then our answer we gave yesterday doesn't work. An amana, how can a father sell an amana? The only way she can be an amana is he married her off. Once he married her off, that was Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that once you marry your daughter off, you have no right to sell her. So how in the world can the b'raita say you're selling an amana? We're stuck. And the answer we gave yesterday, Yehud, didn't work because that was built on an assumption that Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda holds Yehud is herself marrying her off, self off. But now we're saying Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Rabbanon, it's dad that married her off. So if it's dad that married her off, we're back to the kasha. How can a person sell an amana? It can't be. Don't clash the Gemara. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Afilu L'Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda Ma'as Rishaynus L'Kedusha Nitnu. He explained that the original money is Kedusha even according to Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda. But my Mukumba, how is he going to learn this Braisa? He can't answer Yehud. The answer of Yehud was predicated on the fact that she's marrying herself off. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said there's no such Tana. And for the Gemara, you're right. The whole problem was because we thought it was going like Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva said, once you marry your daughter off, you can't sell her. Who said the price is Rabbi Akiva? Maybe the price is going like Rabbi Eliezer, who says you could sell her after you marry her off. You just can't sell her twice. So Memela, the whole question never started. You want to know how you can sell her amana? The father accepted Arison. The husband died or divorced her. And now he can sell her. Rabbi Akiva said you can't do it. We're not going like Rabbi Akiva. The whole question that we built this whole edifice on was because we assumed that the bride is going like Rabbi Akiva, that a person can't sell his daughter after he married her off. Who says the bride is like Rabbi Akiva? The bride is like Rabbi Eliezer. And there goes everything. And mainly we have no riot to yield at all. Rashi. The Rashi, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The Amr L'Kamal L'Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda Nami B'Mos Rishaynus is Mekadeshes. She's Mekadeshes with the original money. The Kedushin the Avninu. But my Mukimla, I feel like Erison Isa, even if you learn here as Erison, Heichi Hadem Azmullah, how can he sell her? Mukimla Kerablazer, the Gesina, the Amr L'Shivchas Akashichus, the Gedarish Kibin Shabagat Ba. He learns Bevigdai doesn't mean clothing. Bevigdai means he was
betrayed.
Thank you. That has to my being a look with the like Rabbi Eliezer. Now Rashi says, why do we build this whole thing assuming it's like Rabbi Akiva? Why'd you assume that way? The Rashi mentioned the Shabutihu. Now there's a machlokes Rishonim how to translate that word. The Gemara uses it a number of times. The Rabbi Eliezer Shabuti. Rashi learns Rabbi Eliezer died when he was in Cherem. This is a fact. Rabbi Eliezer was put in Cherem, and they didn't remove the Cherem until just when he died. And therefore, we like to learn brises not like him, to learn like the other Mandi Amar, because he was put in Cherem. And therefore, we don't want brises to go like him if we can help it. Tysus doesn't understand that. Why can't it be? So he was in Cherem. It had nothing to do with brises. So Tysus learned Shamutihu means he was a member of Beis Shammai. Rabbi Eliezer belonged to Beis Shammai. And Mamela, we like brises to go like Beis Hillel. And Rabbi Eliezer was a member of Beis Shammai. That's what Shamuti is, the Lashon Shammai, not Cherem. Machlokes Rashi and Tysus a number of places in Shas. Not here.
Why is he put in Cherem?
Because he refused to accept the Drasha of Rabbim, the famous story of Masechta Bab Metzia, when they were arguing over a keli, whether it's Tameh or Tahar, and the Rabbanan said, it's Tameh, and he said, it's Tahar, and he made a whole kind of thing, the river should flow backwards, and the thing should, the tree should uproot. He did a whole bunch of things, and at the end of the day, he refused to accept it, and therefore they put him in Cherem. It was a very dangerous thing, by the way. Rabbi Gamliel lost his life over that Cherem. You don't play, I mean, they did it because they had to. But that's the whole story with Tachnun. So Gamliel was married to Rabbi Eliezer's sister. Opposite. Rabbi Eliezer was married to Gamliel's sister. They were brothers-in-law. They were put in Cherem. This is, Rabbi Eliezer was worried that her husband would have her brother die because he's upset. When he's upset, the Rabbanei Shlomo might take punishment, punish Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says about Metzia that Mrs. Rabbi Eliezer made sure her husband never said Tachnun. Because if he would say Tachnun, the Gemara says that she made sure that he should never say Tachnun. If you don't give me a chance, you'll never hear it. The Gemara says she made sure he should never say Tachnun. And one day she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, so she thought he wasn't going to say Tachnun anyway. She walked in and she saw him say Tachnun. She said, oh no, my brother. And a few minutes later, she heard that her brother had just died. That's the Gemara Bava Metzia. Frek the Rashba. How could she stop him from saying Tachnun? How does a woman stop her husband from saying Tachnun? He didn't be Yechidus. He was in Cherem. He couldn't go to Shul. So Rabbi Rashba answers, she got him to talk. But the Gemara does not say it. The Gemara says she stopped him from saying Tachnun. Rashba explains, that's why I said, you got to give me a chance.
You're right, I'm wrong.
The Rashba explains that she stopped him from talking. She made him talk in between. And when you talk in between Shemayin Esri and Tachnun, your Tachnun loses effectiveness. Therefore, would not kill her brother. But the minute one day he said Tachnun without being interrupted, she always had a good question right after Shemayin Esri before he said Tachnun. So he always interrupted. Because that's not luck. If you have to answer, you have to answer. But meanwhile, it takes away. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says it's better not to be mafsik till after Tachnun. Not usher, but it's better because it hurts your effectiveness of your Tachnun. That's the story. One day she thought it was Rosh Chodesh and it wasn't. And therefore he said Tachnun without being interrupted and her brother died, which is Rav Gamliel. That's what happened. And then when he was nifter, they took the cherem off. It's a whole Gemara in Sanhedrin, but that's not the point here now.
So we learn from this that if he had davened Shomer Shabbos, that Rav Gamliel would be alive today.
No, that's not true, because Shachris, we say Tachnun. And that's when it happened by Shachris. Right.
Rabbi, I thought
the story was that there was a Mesholik which came by a misremembering correctly.
She interrupted him, that's what the Gemara says. My right. We finished the Rashi. By Rish Lakish. Now we're not finished with this Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. We're still going to go. There's two, now as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll mention it again. There's the Rabbanan Shita that say it's the first money that's the Kedushin. That's clear. In Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, there's an argument how to understand them. Because all he says is, there has to be amount of time work left of a bruta. Now, we don't know what that means. We thought it meant because that's the Kedushin. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says that's not what it means. So we'll have to see it as we go along. I'm just putting that machloikis out there in Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda.
Both agree that
there has to be a... No. Rabbanan hold you don't need any money left. as long as he's still a servant, even if there's a half a pruta left. There's got to be something left, because now she's not an amariah anymore. The guy buys an amariah and then she goes free. He can't be mekadesh with the original money.
What happens with that money? Must she die? Can you get a refund?
No.
No?
No.
It's gone.
Gone.
Wait, so the machlokes, if there's money, if there's a time left?
Does there have to be time left? We understood that to mean, is that the kedushin, the end time? The Reb Nachman by Yitzchak does not understand it that way. So in Reb Yitzchak, Reb Yehuda, there's a machlokes how to define him. I just want to point that out because we're going to have it again and again.
So how does it work if you learn the money? The money was given originally to the father for avdus.
It was the way the Rabbanan learn is very simple. The guy walks over to a person and says, I hear you're selling your daughter. Can I buy her? He says, yes, you can. He says, what is it? What is,
you know, I can't. Who do I listen to? Who's younger? Who's older? I don't,
what is the price? What is the price? It's fine. I will buy her. Now, when the Torah allows that transaction to take place, the unwritten clause in that transaction is that at any point the master can say, that money which I paid you was money for marriage, which you let me do by selling her.
And what does he say to her?
Hurry up, you endlessly. Bekesef Shekiba Lovich, I think Rashi quoted. Hariat Yehud, I'm sorry. Rashi quoted on the other days. Hariat Yehudali Bekesef Miknasech. Rashi that says Yehud. Towards the end, Yudchesim Beis, towards the end of the narrow lines.
Is this unwritten law?
It's an, what do you mean unwritten? It's in the Torah. If he doesn't speak it out at the time of the sale. He doesn't have to tell the guy, I'm buying your daughter, and if I want to do this, no. This is built into the sale. This is a given, unwritten clause, I said, not unwritten law.
Can it be done day one?
Can be done minute one, and according to the Rabbanan, till minute last minute.
I thought Rabbanan, it can be done first.
From minute one till the very last minute, 5 years, 353 days, 23 hours and 59 minutes.
And
59
seconds.
Not really, but you can't get it out. The last second, we'll need about 10 seconds. What?
Kenya was made
according to the Rabbanon, it's that original money. Now, Yitzchak of Yehuda says, ask me work left. He doesn't explain himself. We understood him to mean, because that's the Kedushin. Right. But Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says that's not what he means. So we'll figure out what Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says as we go along. It's out there. I just want to make sure everybody remembers this Machloikas, Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Yehuda, as we proceed.
So does her work change after she gets married?
She's not working anymore. She's a wife. Does your wife work? That's exactly it.
Not like an
Amah. Exactly. She becomes a wife.
You know what she told me yesterday.
That she becomes a regular wife. A regular wife does what a regular wife does. She's no longer an Amma. She turns from an Amma to Mistress. Zakti Gemara Vayter, Bay Minei Rish Lakish. Mal Shiyad Miyad Adal Livnai Katan. Now, we haven't had this halacha at length. We did mention it. That not only can the Adon marry her, he can marry her off to his son. His son can be the bet. Now, how about if his son is 11 or 12 who can't make a kinyan? Can the father, now by the way, there's a big kiddush. The father gave the money. The money that the father gave, let's say the kid's 15, is now being used for the 15-year-old's marriage. The son is saying, I'm being miyayed you with the money my father gave your father. And that's the Torah allowed. The Torah says, you give a son can be miyayed the girl using the sale money, the way that I'm going to learn, the sale money that the father sold her. That's Nalach in the Torah. In Levi Yadena. We own questions on that. The Torah says that.
But the father said, I will.
Father said nothing. The father said, I'm buying this Amavriya. All he said. built into the halachas of buying an Amar Vriya is that you can marry her yourself or you can marry her off to your son. Now, the son gets up and he tells the girl, obviously with his father's acquiescence, because his father has first rights, and he goes over to the girl and he says, Harayat me you endlessly, the kesef mikna shel abba. If you have somebody who knows Hebrew better than me, he'll say it better than me. That's what he says. Now, that works great. The son is 15. He can do an acquisition. How about if his son is 11? The Torah said him, Livna Yidena. Is there an age or not an age? That's what Rish Lakish wants to know. Can the yihud be done by an 11-year-old? Because, again, it's the father that did the transaction. He's using that transaction for the benefit of his son. Is the son have to be capable of making his own transaction? Or is that built into the halacha of Amavriya that the father's transaction can be transferred to the son regardless of how old the son is?
And does it matter if the son does it after he became bar mitzvah? Is it nogea? The rabbinity was the mikna? This question, at the time originally that the money was given, does it matter if he's young now and older when he lay later?
That's a good shaila. At this point, the Gemara wants to know the time of Yud.
Good.
Rabbi Rish Lakish. Ma'al shebiyayit adon livnai katan. B'nai amarachmana. The Torah says b'nai. That's b'nai kolduhu. Adoma b'nai dum yudidei. But maybe it means, like him, ma'hu gadlu, a'b'nai gadlu. It's a question in the Torah. How do you read the Torah? Im livnai yadena. His adult son or any son? Rashi? No Rashi. Zakti Gemara Tashema. Amar Rav Zera Tashema. We're going to try to prove it from a brisa. Ish Prat L'Katan. This is a pasuk written by a guy who's mezana with an Eishes Ish. And the pasuk says, Ish Ashiyinav Es Eishes Ish. So Ish says, Prat L'Katan, that if a katan does this nus, he's not Chayav Misa. Now why would I think he is Chayav Misa? So this is a big shaila in the Rishaynim. We katan's pasuk from everything. All of a sudden we need a pasuk to say a katan's not Chayav. So there was some Rishaynim mentioned one of the terutzim is because since a katan, a 9-year-old, his relationship is called a relationship, he's capable of a relationship. Maybe over here he's Chayav even though he's a katan, because he's already mature enough that his relationship is considered a relationship. An 8-year-old is not called a relationship. A 9-year-old is called a relationship. So maybe I would think this is an exception to the rule. Comes along the Torah and says, Ish prat l'katan. Asher yinav es eishes ish. Prat l'eishes katan. Eishes ish said, if she's married to a katan, there is no chi of misa. V'yamrit miyayid. If you tell me that there can be a marriage biblically to a katan through yiyud, imkei matinu eishes l'katan. So that means there is eishes l'katan. So why are we saying Prat Leishes Katan? That means it never exists. It's not true. It's a raya that he can't work. Because again, Eishes Katan, the Gemara understands the drasha, that Eishes Katan means it never exists. It's not true. You can have an Eishes Katan. The father bought her as an Amavriya. He married her off to his 11-year-old son. This lady is an Eishes Katan. So why is the bride to say Eishes Ish Prat Leishes Katan as if it never exists? So the Gemara comes right back and says, excuse me, the Torah didn't say it never exists. The Torah said, you're not chayav. Adarab, it does exist. I don't have to exclude it if it never exists. If the Torah says, anxious is prat, anxious cotton, means there is an anxious cotton, but she's not chayav misa. If it's not that there's no such thing, I don't have to exclude it. The fact that it's excluded means it does exist. Adarab, if anything, it's a raya, you could marry her after the son to cotton. How else do you have an anxious ish that's an anxious cotton? The Torah excludes that there's no punishment by anxious cotton. It doesn't exist. You don't have to exclude it. I don't know. We'll worry about that. It's a havamina. So, again, the Gemara's response is, instead of using that bryce as a diak that it doesn't exist, use that bryce as a diak that it does exist and doesn't get punished. Because if it didn't exist, I wouldn't have to exclude it. Dr. Gemara, am I enemy of it? What are you going to tell me? He can't marry her off this cotton? Am I coming my lake raw? So why did the Torah have to say no punishment? Dr. Gemara, Tim Shimon, I'm the eye. So turn the tables. We should be able to prove from here the eye to the night cotton. Because the Gemara is saying there is such a thing as an aishes cotton. There is such a thing as an aishes cotton that doesn't get punished. How is there an aishes cotton? Must be here. There's no other way. Dr. Gemara Amar Rav Ashi. Now there's a big machlokes we're showing them here. We're learning Rashi. There is an aishes cotton. A yavam. Reuven died. Shimon did Yibum. Shimon is 9, or 10, or 11, and he did Yibum. So biblically, he did Yibum. He's married to her. It's his wife. She's an anxious cotton. Through Yibum. The Midaraisa Chazile. Rabbanim don't like it. Rabbanim won't want Yibum as a cotton. But Midaraisa works. So Mao the Tameki with the Midaraisa Chazile Biyasabiya. Habalah Mishayabashis Ish. I would think, since Midaraisa it's fit to him, and Biyasabiya, so it's Chayabashis Ish, Kamash Malan, that not. So that's the answer to the price. Rashi learns, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. I want to do that first before I answer questions. That means, Rashi said, the way Rashi learns, you're looking for an anxious cotton that exists? I found one. Not Yud. Maybe yes, maybe not. We don't know. We don't know. That was Rish Lakish and Shiloh. We never proved it. You were looking for a case and you said you can't think of another case? I just did. A Yavam 10-year-old was Miyabim, his brother's wife. She is his wife biblically. And still, there's no punishment. Anxious ish, brought by anxious cotton. She is an anxious cotton, it doesn't. That's Rashi's shot. Tosfos has problems with the Gemara and Yavama, sounds like, that Yibum of a cotton is only rabbinic, it's not biblical. And here the Gemara seems to say it is biblical. So Frek Tosfos, the Kasha on this Gemara, and he doesn't accept Rashi's shot that a Yavam has a biblical marriage to his Yavama when he's a cotton. Therefore, Tosfos learns it's rabbinic. And when it says prat l'aishes cotton, it doesn't mean that there's really an aishes cotton. But since Midaraisa is Zika, she's bound to him because of the deceased brother, and that's biblical, you would think that that's enough to consider her like an aishes ish. Not because the cotton lived with her, because the cotton that lived with her is only rabbinic, it's not biblical. But because there was a Midaraisa Zika, before he lived with her. So therefore the Torah had to tell me, that's not enough for Aishas Ish. That's all. But it's not biblical. So it's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here. Rashi says, Rashi in Kedushin Yotetz, it's a famous Shas Rashi, says that a cotton does Yibum, it's a biblical Yibum, and she's married them biblically. And according to Tosfos, it's a rabbinic Yibum based on Mishnayos and Masechtos Yevamos, which Rashi has to answer. We're not going to get involved in that now, right? And that says it's only rabbinic. Ida Gemara says, Midaraisa Chazilei. Tosfos learns, Midaraisa, she's bound to him through Zika. That's how Tosfos learns. Let me read the Rashi inside. Dr. Rashi, Amayim Amayit Leikro, Hayovaleth, if it doesn't exist, I don't have to exclude it. Tivshu de Miyayin, Umiyo to Miyat to Kro Mimisa, the Torah excluded it from Misa. The Midaraisa Chazilei, Kloimis, Skukala Ba'isa Bia Lechol Dover. She's bound to him for everything. Kana Liyorsha, Nam Ben Tesha Shabai Yavemtoi, Kana, this is Rashi. A 9-year-old comes at his Vivama, he's Kaine. Zuk Tysus, if you take a look at Tysus for a second. The Tosfos, as Ein El Midrabanan, Tosfos says 6 lines into Midaraisa. It's only rabbinic. So Tosfos says it means since there's a Zika and Midaraisa would work at a certain point, I would think that it's considered like a wife. Kamash Malan did not. But Ein Ochinam, according to Tosfos, the Kamash Malan is that it's not a wife. It's only rabbinic. The Havamina would have been since there's Zika, it works. Kamash Malan, it doesn't work. According to Rashi, it does work. She is married to him biblically. This is Rashi Shita. This is a famous Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos that's quoted extensively in Masechtos Yevamos. Yes, doctor.
I noticed that you've been staying above the age of 9.
Right.
What about an 8-year-old?
No, but it's not a Bia. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, indeed a number of places, that girls are not considered a Bia under 3. And boys are not considered a bia under 9. That means an 8-year-old has a relationship. She's still a psula. She's not considered a baula. It's not a relationship. That's why I've been sticking on the age of 9. Because the Gemara does not consider anything younger than that in relationship.
That's what I was referring to.
Yes.
Yes. The
beer that he has to have with her, a 9-year-old, he doesn't have to show simonim. There is no simonim.
No, it's age. Purely age.
If he's 18 years old and he has beer with her, does he have to show simonim to prove that he was Mekhaya?
According to Tysus? Yes.
According to Rashi, he doesn't.
Well, he's no different than a 9-year-old.
Okay, so there is no simonim. So there's no problem about simonim for...
Again, 9-year-old is purely age.
So Tosfos says he has to be 13.
For the Rai Seibim, correct.
Is there a Bonan according to Tosfos?
It's a Mimer. Back in Yavamas, we had a concept called Mimer, that a Rabbanan instituted ways of bonding them that's not biblical. The Gemara's Lashon in Yavamas is Asu Bias Bentesha, Kemimer begadol. That's the lush. I mean, Tysus has Gemaras that seem to say his way. Asu bias bentesha kemimer begadol. That's the lush in our Gemara there. In fact, Tysus, how can Rashi say it's biblical when the Gemara in Yavama says it's only rabbinic? This is Tysus' discussion of Rashi. How Rashi answers it is not our sugya right here.
Why by Yibam, where Rashi is a 9-year-old better because of his brother?
You don't need das. All the halachas, exactly. Why don't you need das by Yibam? By every marriage, you need das. Here, even without das, he's kind of her. Why?
If she's sleeping.
If he's, you don't need das.
Das on whose part?
Oh, for sure not on her part. Even his part, it's not so simple. Bein ba'ayinus, bein ba'ratzim, bein ba'shraking, bein ba'mezid.
Who's that referring to?
Both. Now, it happens to be he has to know he's doing a ma'aseh b'yom. But let's say he thinks he's doing it with another woman, and it happens to be his yavama. He's kind of her.
Is it because of the Zika?
Yes. Not because of Zika rabbinic. The biblical Zika. No. In Zika, there are two translations. The bond that the Torah created, and then there's a machlokes that the Rabbanan create stronger bonds, ushering relatives and things like that, because of that bond. That's a machlokes, yes, Zika or ain't Zika. That's a rabbinic machlokes. Everybody agrees there is a biblical bond. You want to call it Zika, but be careful that there's two translations for the word Zika.
So
you don't want to stumble into that.
The bottom line is, this Katan who lived with her, according to Rashi, if someone lives with her, it's Chayav Mitzvah?
No, because the Torah said Prat Leishas Katan. Ishas Ish, Prat Leishas Katan. That's what the Bryson just said. That's what we were going on. We're trying to find this ancient cotton. We're saying we don't know whether yud is or not. We tried to prove that it's yud, and we said no, there is another option. And once there's another option, you have no proof. Again, I'm going to say something that's simple, but I'll say it because I like to repeat this for myself. Proof means there's no way out. Getting out doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just not a proof. If I want to prove that Shimon stole something, I have to prove that there's no other option. He is the only one that could have done it. Once it could have been Levi, I don't know that it's not Shimon. I just can't prove that it is Shimon. To prove something, you have to lock it up that there's no other option. The minute there's another option, that doesn't mean your first option was wrong, but you can't prove it. We don't know what that look of here it is. You wanted to prove it because there was no other option. I presented another option. Now, what is the price of me, Yud or Yibum? I don't know. Maybe both. We don't know. But you can't prove anything because once there's another option, there's no proof. Proof means no way out. If not, it's not a proof. So as long as I present another option, it's not a proof. I presented another option.
So what is the onus for Asia's covenant? What is the
onus? I don't know. Not me, sir. I don't know. Upstairs. Not down here. That the chiddush of the Gemara Prat Leishas Katan is that even though there is Zika, it's not a wife.
But Leishas Katan can exist or not?
It cannot exist.
So then, applies to what's prat le'ishas derayis.
So Taisus says that the Gemara, the pasuk wouldn't be b'mayir drabana. Taisus says, take a look. You know what? It's easier to read it in Taisus. Take a look at Taisus Midaraisa.
Yes.
Go four lines from the end. Elav, the beginning of the line is Elav. You have that?
Yeah.
Elav, high crawl the mate. Havamina Midaraisa Chashuva Kirshta. I would have thought that the bond makes it like a wife. Kamash Malan, She'ena Kardinaisa Wadrabanan. The Chiddish, a prat le'ishas katan, is to teach me halacha in Yibum. Without this pasuk, I would have thought that a yavam is kind of a deraisa. Comes along the Torah says, prat le'ishas katan. That case that you thought could be an ashes katan is not. But there would have been a reason to think so because of the Zika. That's how Titus learns this Gemara.
That's the option that he's learning here.
Correct. There is no option. The Maisa. Correct. Dr. Gemara Weiter. My Havi Allah. What is the halacha? What is the halacha? Can a katan, can a father do you to b'nai katan or not? The Gemara wants to know. Dr. Gemara Tashima Amar Avevi Amar Abiyanai. Ein yir ala begadl, ein yir ala midas. Ein yir ala begadl. The yir is only by a gadl. Ein yir ala midas. Now it says the same thing. A gadl has das. Frek the Gemara Tarti. Why are we saying the same thing twice? Zog de Gemara, ma tam kamra. You're right. It's one statement. It's explaining. Ma tam ein yid el begadl, b'shein yid el midas. There's your answer. The reason you need a gadl is because you need das. The person who's marrying her has to have das. Therefore, if the son is nine, your father can't do yid because the guy doesn't have das. So this is a statement said by Rabbi Yanai that you need yid by gadl.
This is not different than any
other marriage. Correct. Except that the father made it, not the kid. The father paid for it.
The father
gave the Adon, the new master, who's the father of the guy doing yid, paid money, and that gives his son a right to use that money as kedushin.
I would think. Why is this different than any other case? A katan, no matter if he's a yid guy or he's a guy from Cleveland State or from Brooksville, doesn't have das.
Correct. But now here, he doesn't. The question is again. Shimon goes and buys.
Oh, you mean this is the money's going. Since he gave it, that he had das,
the father gave it for money, and the Torah said, you can use the money you give that the Amish should marry your son. The son didn't give the money. The son's not doing the, well, there's two ways to look at it. Who is doing the act of Kedusha now? Who paid for this? Father. Torah said a Chiddush. The father pays, and the son can use it as Kedusha. How far does that chiddush extend? Zokt Rabbi Yanai, not to a katan. The person doing yid has to have das. Rashi.
I thought das is going on the lady. It's with her.
Well, the man has to have das here too. Well, usually in kedushin, the man walks over to the lady with das. Here, the son is never giving a penny. His father gave the penny.
This is not a
not the usual case of kedushin.
That can happen also. Somebody else can pay.
No, that's not true. No.
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 Unless he's a shliach.
Unless he's a
shliach. So the father's not a shliach here at all.
Not at all. This is built into the laws of Amavriya.
He's not transferring anything.
The kid's not transferring anything.
The father isn't either because it was him or his son originally. So he's not transferring anything now.
No, nothing. Rashi. Tarti. Hokharu. Kiva den yero midas. Pshita den yero begadl. Shatarach liyada gisir. Hu tani love hu amrla. It's vaita. Zabti gemar vaita v'ibay yaseima. If you want, I can tell you a different shot in what it means, ein yid el midas. We're not changing the proof. Rabbi Yannai said, "Ain yid ela begadol." Rabbi Yannai is a source. He didn't bring a brisa. He didn't bring a pasuk. He said a statement. To us, Rabbi Yannai is a source. He's an Amira, but he's a very early Amira. And to us, he is a source. You had a Shaila, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yannai, who's your Rebbe's Rebbe, or maybe your own Rebbe, he said, "Ain yid ela begadol." He was Rabbi Yechanan's Rebbe, Rabbi Yannai. One of Rabbi Yechanan's Rebbe. So therefore, if we have our Shaila proven, we had another problem, what if Ein Yid El Midas meant? So originally we said it's the same thing, you're just explaining it. We're offering a second shot in that line. Not in the changing shot in Gadol, just a different shot in the line, Ein Yid El Midas. Yibai Seyma, my Midas, Midas Nidah. She has to agree. If she doesn't agree to the yid, it doesn't work. No yid can be done without the girl who's a ktana agreeing. The Tari Rabbi, a braider of a vow, Ashalo Yoda, Malame, Shitzarach Yoda. Rabbi, or said, the son of Rabbi vow, learned the following brisa. It says in the Pasuk, he did not do yid. Teaches us that we want him to do yid. That's what the Torah would want him to do. And who tani love, who amar love. And he learned this brisa, and he explained that which we say, tsarach liyada. Now, it doesn't mean just that the Torah wants you to do yid. The Torah wants something here. What does that mean? He explained, Aliba Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda, the amar maaser b'shayinas lav l'kedushinism. This das is only necessary if you learn that the kedushin is the leftover work. Then you're giving her something, so she has to agree to take that. If you learn it was the father's accepting the money, we had the das already. Dad did it. So Abaye explained that Bryce, and it says sarach liyada. It's required, not required to do yid. The mitzvah to do yid, but it's not required. So he's saying what it means is if you do yid, you need her das. Why do you need her das? Father did it. The father can accept kedusha for his daughter without her das. Why all of a sudden here do you need das? Because the kedusha is not the original money. The kedusha is the future work that he's giving her. And therefore, you need her das. Let's talk Rashi. We love to learn Rashi, because sometimes Rashi does such a better job explaining it than I do, and he answers all the questions. Talk Rashi. Who taught it love, who amr love? Who taught it love, Asis? And he learned this right up. Who amr love, Menashe, and he explained. The high time, and the high tzarech liyada, that which you need liyada, is your b'yaytzi b'myuri. The amr ma'as, rishayin, and shekibu love, l'kidlav, l'kidushin, inu. The ain yud, ala b'pruta shalel. The yield is what she owes him, the work. The father did not have that in mind. The father received the money earlier. And if he doesn't inform her, now what that means, does it mean that she has to agree or not? But Rashi uses the words, if he doesn't inform her, ain kan kedusha. So reading Rashi carefully, not like Tarsus, is to say that you have to inform the girl, this is going to be your yid, because she's accepting something from him, so she has to know he's giving her something. Now I'll learn like Tysus, I'll cheat a little bit. Then she has to agree. It's a machlokes reshita whether she has to agree or not. Is he saying he has to inform her, or is he saying she has to agree? But either way, it's the same. The father can accept kedushin for his daughter without telling her. A one-day-old kid, the father can marry her off. And when she turns 12, he says, oh, by the way, I married you off 11 years ago and the first day you were born. I found a good shidduch for you. She never agreed. She never knew. It was a kedushin. Yud requires minimum that he has to tell her, I'm being miyayed you. Now, why? The father accepted the money, because that's not the kedushin. Going like a Yisrael Yehuda, that the kedushin is the future that he's giving her. So she has to know she's being given something for kedushin. Now, Taisa says she has to agree to it also. But that's Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi, again, remember we had two translations of Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Yehuda. This is going with one of them. that Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not the original money that's the Kedushin. It's the money of the work coming that's the Kedushin. So Mamela, this is what Rabbi is saying.
I thought we came off that and said that everyone agrees it's the father.
We said there's two Pshatim Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. We never came off it. We offered an alternative Pshat. I said that at the beginning. There's going to be a machloikas amaroim in how to understand Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. One way is to say that the work is the Kedushin, and one way is to say the original money is the Kedushin. The Gemara now is operating that it's the work that's the Kedushin. And the Gemara is translating that Pshat in the Braisa that says you have to tell the girl, I'm being miyayed you with the thing. Why do you have to tell her? You told the father already. The answer is because it's giving her the work, only according to Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Rabbanon, you would not have to have her agreement. Yes, Avram, what was your question?
I was saying that originally the money was given, we were in doubt who's going to do the yid. Is that correct?
We were in doubt if there's going to be yid. We had no idea.
Okay, and then it turned out the father said, you know what, this girl's too young for me.
I don't know. You want to say a story? No, you can write the story. Chapter 1, chapter 2, where are you up to? Chapter 4? I don't know where you're up to.
When does a girl have das?
Usually it's 12.
So the girl is born before she's 6 years old. The father tells her, by the way, you're getting married tomorrow, or we have you, and it's already done, taken care of.
The father doesn't talk about years. The master has to talk about years, not the father. He's the one that bought her.
And so she's not 6 years old. The day before, the 6 years are over. She has enough das at that point?
Again, she doesn't have to have das.
She has enough to understand what she's doing.
Again, it's no different than any father marrying off his katana. The das was the father's. I'm going to be crude now for a minute. Please allow me to be crude. She is the father's item. That's a ksana.
And would they and you would have the same shortage?
Not necessarily, but the Gemara here is using it that way. I don't know what's the kaidish at all. I didn't say it all. I know some words. Hachash, tayim, shalosh, arba.
What do you do for the rest of the year then?
I don't know. You can only count up to a certain number. I mean, after that, most. No. Even though, again, a son can, Rachman al-Islam, a son that's a cotton can be punished with averis of his father because he's considered a possession to a certain extent. The first shot in the Magen Avraham, the Baruch Shepetrani, is that the father is thanking that his kid won't be punished for his averis. Not that the father will be punished for his kid's averis, that the kid won't be punished for dad's averis. Because while a kid is a katan, he's viewed somewhat like a possession of the father, not for marriage. A katan is even for marriage. We'll continue tomorrow.